Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's what 1 Peter 2, verse 17 says. Honor all men. The word honor there is a word that has a wide range of meanings, and the exact message of the word is in harmony with the context that it's referring to. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Same word. Same original Greek word. But again, it's a word that's got a wide range of meaning. And so actually honoring all men in the first part of the verse and honor the king in the last part of the verse are actually a couple of different kinds of honor. The word honor, as it occurs there, is a word which literally means to esteem or value something or someone. So I believe it would be accurate if we were to take that verse and put those words into some more modern terminology based on the way we converse. We would say, appreciate all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and show the proper respect to the king, for he is the king. The English Standard Version uses the word emperor there for king. We're not really all that concerned about the first part of the verse or the last part of the verse. It's those two things in the middle that we really want to pay attention to, and especially that first part of the middle, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. We might say that the fear God part is tied in very closely with this, because this is God's word we're reading. This is God's will, God's instruction that he's given for us to follow. And so obviously, if we don't fear God, none of the rest of this matters, does it? I wish I had the ability to convince people that it's just that simple. Unless we fear God, nothing we could claim makes any difference. Nothing we could pretend to be or to do, no fancy words that we could ever say would matter if we don't fear God. Everything else is for nothing. But as I say, I want us to focus on this part, love the brotherhood. Incidentally, this verse, 1 Peter 2, verse 17, is the only time the word brotherhood occurs in all of Scripture. It's actually a word in the original Greek language that is closely tied to several other words, and we're going to take a close look at a couple of those words and see some verses where they really jump out with a very strong message. But I thought, in view of the discussion this morning on the fatherhood of God, it just makes sense that we ought to talk about the brotherhood of man. Wait a minute, that's not right. The brotherhood of man. Because you remember this morning we established the fact, based on what God's word says, that God is not the father of everybody in general. God is only the father of those who are his children, those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who have come to God, those who are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So we're not talking about the brotherhood of man, we're talking about the brotherhood of Christians. Let's get that right from the very beginning. the brotherhood of Christians. Now, the brotherhood of man is a real thing. The brotherhood of man is a real thing when it comes to our dealings with one another out there in the world. And we often feel a sense of brotherhood with people with whom we have certain things in common. If we work together with them, if we play on the same team, if we are in the same class at school, if we're all volunteer firefighters together, or whatever it is that binds us together, there is a sense of the brotherhood of man there. And I'll go so far as to say that term should not be a term limited to gender in that sense. Because I've seen some female volunteer firefighters that were pretty tough. And I wouldn't dare want to suggest that they did not have or feel the brotherhood of being on that group of people who fight the fires. Neither is the brotherhood of Christians a term that's limited in gender. You understand what I'm saying? We're all children of God. Sons of God in a generic sense, whether we're sons or daughters, in that sense we're sons of God. We're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, by virtue of our obedience. And the brotherhood of Christians is the bond that connects us together, that makes us separate and distinct from those who are not Christians. Now, I want you to bear with me in this for just a minute or two, because there are people, in fact, there may be some of them listening to us right now, who could say, there are those who want to say, yeah, that's the way you so-called Christian people are. You think you're different from everybody else. You better believe we're different from everybody else. If we're not different from everybody else, we're not Christians. Don't confuse different with intrinsically better or more valuable. That's not what it means. It means distinct. You and I as Christians are God's children. We're obedient to God. We are living within the will of God, honoring God, fearing God. We don't honor the ruler of this world. Not long ago, on a Sunday night, a couple of weeks ago, we studied a lesson entitled Different. And we saw in that study several of the things that need to be put into play in our lives that will demonstrate the fact that we are distinct from people of the world, people who have no covenant relationship with God, people who are not interested in serving God, people who are not interested in putting God first in their lives. That's not us. We're different from that. We're not saying we're more important than they are. We're not saying that we're better than they are as people, as human beings. But we're different. And if we're not going to be different, we're not going to be Christians. And so the brotherhood of Christianity is what separates us, or acknowledges the separation of Christian people from worldly people. The word brotherhood, that in that first line, that's the Greek word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it because too many of you would know if I mispronounced it. But that's it, the English rendition of the Greek letters and then the Greek letters themselves. I do know for sure, though, that I can say that the definition of that word as it occurs in Scripture, the definition is the feeling of brotherliness. That's a very general definition in vague terms. The feeling of brotherliness, the brotherhood. That which separates us from everyone else because we're brethren. And then there is another word that we find scattered all throughout the Bible. Brothers. In the King James Version, it's usually rendered brethren, which is plural for brother. Brothers or brethren. And again, there's the Greek word adelphos, I think would be the right way to say it. And that's it in the Greek alphabet spelled out there. And it means a fellowship of life based on identity of origin. A fellowship of life based on identity of origin. The word brothers, as it occurs in the New Testament, we'll focus on the New Testament for the time being, is a word which sometimes means physical, sometimes means spiritual. Brothers. Sometimes it's talking about the identity of the physical origin. In fact, a derivative of the Greek word for brothers, one of the meanings of that particular derivative is womb, W-O-M-B. And the implication would be those which come from the same womb, that is the brotherliness. That is the fellowship or the relationship of life. Physical brothers. And the word is used every time the Bible gives a list, the New Testament gives a list of brothers. For example, the brothers of Jesus. James and John, brothers, sons of Zebedee. They came from the same origin. They came from the same mother, and so they are brothers. But it's also the same word that's used, particularly in 1 John. If you want to be flipping over there to 1 John chapter 2, that's where we're going to start from. But we'll find this word occurring at least 10 or 11 times in 1 John chapters 2, 3, and 4, I think. And it's a word here which does not mean from the same mother. But it means from the same origin. And the same origin, there would be the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. That's the origin, the common origin of brethren, as the word is used here in 1 John. In fact, I'd like to give you a list of verses that we'll look at. And this is verses that use the word brother or brothers, singular or plural, in 1 John. And we're going to start in 1 John chapter 2. You'll find it there in verses 9, 10, and 11. If you want to follow along with me there, we're going to read one verse at a time. And I want to give you a key word that comes to mind based on what is taught here on the subject of brothers, brotherliness, brotherhood. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. What's the word that, you know, let's play that word association game for just a few minutes. What's the word that pops into your mind when you hear these words in this verse? Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Well, to me, the word hypocrite just jumps into my mind because it's someone who claims to be something that he's not. Because John says if he says he's in the light, he claims he's in the light. Remember what in the light is? Back in chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, he is God. I know that he is God in that particular instance because it goes on to say we have fellowship with him and the blood of his son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so it's got to be talking about God when it says as he is in the light. As God is in the light. And so now here in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, if one claims or says he is in the light, if he claims to be walking in the light. There's only one way you can claim to be walking in the light is if you're claiming to be a child of God, if you're claiming to be a Christian. If he says he's walking in the light and hates his brother, he's still in darkness. Now, there is one other little minor distinction that I think we need to acknowledge here in this verse, just kind of in passing. It doesn't really have a whole lot to do with the rest of our subject matter, but you notice there are only two positions delineated there, in the light and in darkness. Now, I bring that out because I've heard people say, I know a lot of people feel this way, believe this way. They say, well, yeah, you know, I wouldn't say I'm in the light, but I'm not really in the darkness. Oh, God says you are. You better get out of that darkness and get in the light. You want to know how to do that? Let's study God's word and see how we get you out of the darkness. And, well, I'm not really in the darkness. Are you in the light? No, I'm not in the light. Well, you're in darkness. That's what God says. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Look at verse 10. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. And in him there is no cause for stumbling. Now, since we're talking about being in the light and so forth, I want to make sure we all understand. When he says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, the point is not the fact that loving his brother makes him in the light. Loving his brother means he's already in the light, and if he loves his brother, he's abiding in the light. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. I've got a word that's come to my mind for that verse as well. And you know what that word is? It's the word leader. Leader. I dare say 90% of us, when I said that word leader, had one of two words pop into our mind, either elder or president. Hopefully not president, but we've somewhere along the line gotten the idea that the only elders among God's people, the only leaders among God's people are the elders. You know, if every single Christian in some phase or means in their life is not leading others, something's wrong. Something's bad wrong. No matter who we are all in a position to be able to lead others. Primarily, we're talking about leading people to Christ. We lead them through the things that we do and the things that we say and the places we go and that which they observe in our lives. We talked about that not long ago as well. What people see in us. That's how we lead people. And God's word is clear on the subject of stumbling and causing others to stumble. I remember Jesus said on one occasion, if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into the ditch. That expresses the point quite well, doesn't it? Either we're leading others and not causing them to stumble, or we're causing them to stumble by the way that we live, and therefore we must be back in the darkness again. Whoever loves his brother and abides in the light, in him there is no cause for stumbling. He's a good leader. He's leading people in the right way. He's not officially a leader in the local congregation, in some official sense, but he or she is a leader. And then verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Remember what we said a minute ago about the blind leading the blind? I've got a word that's come to mind for this verse too, and it's the word lost. Not so much as lost in the sense of lost or saved, but lost in the sense that he has no idea where he's going or what he's doing. In fact, that's what John says. He's stumbling along, does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, I hope you're not having to ask yourself, well, what has all this got to do about brethren in the brotherhood? That's what this is all about, loving our brethren. The relationship that we are to have with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're all the sons of God. We're all God's children. And therefore, there's a special tie or bond between us, the tie of brotherhood, because we are all of a common origin, because we've come from the same place, the blood of Jesus. Let's go a little further, because we're not through with this word yet. Somebody evidently took the lid off and just poured it out all over the place in 1 John. It's in chapter 3 as well. We'll begin at verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. We read this verse this morning. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. And you may be saying, well, I was hoping for a fresh point, but that's the same point that's already been made. You know, that's true. That's exactly right. The same point's been made now in a different way. The message is still the same. If we don't love our brethren, if we don't make the most of this relationship between one another as God's children, we're in darkness. We're not of God. We are of, or we are children of, the devil. Verse 12. Why, or we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Cain's brother was murdered. Now, we know for sure that Cain's brother was Abel because it's told to us in the book of Genesis as well as in the book of Hebrews, that Cain killed his brother Abel. But the point that I want us to see in all of this is the question that comes up there, why did he murder him? Why did Cain kill his brother? Why was Cain a murderer? You say, well, now that's pretty strong to say that Cain was a murderer. Wasn't that what Cain was? Wasn't that what he did? He murdered him because his own deeds were evil and his brother's deeds were righteous. Somebody says, well, that's jealousy, pure and simple. Well, I suppose so, but maybe wouldn't the word resentment be an even better way to look at this? Cain resented his brother's success against his own failure, and so he killed him. He murdered his brother. We're not through with this word murderer yet. Because I want you to look with me down to verse 14. We're going to read verse 14 and verse 15 together this time. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I did a little research, and I thought, you know, there's got to be, you know, every now and then you'll find a Greek word means one thing in one verse, means something else in another. And I thought, well, this Cain was a murderer back up here in this verse. And a couple of verses later, he says, anybody who doesn't love his brother is a murderer. Got to be a difference in the two words in the original language. Nope. The two words are exactly the same. And this word is not an ambiguous word. It's not a word that could be interpreted based on the context to mean several different things. What this word literally means is manslayer. And so my conclusion is John, through the Holy Spirit's inspiration, is trying in yet another way to emphasize to us how important it is for us to love one another. If it's so important that he emphasizes it with the threat of being guilty of murder, that's pretty strong. Well, let's go to verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Again, he's not talking about brother and sister in a family, physical way. He's talking about Christians. Now, I don't know that you and I have ever been or probably never will be. Maybe not. We hope not. But possibly we might not ever be in a situation where we would need to lay down our life for a brother. But John illustrates the necessity, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he illustrates, again, the necessity of brotherly love with this matter of dying for people. Next verse, verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And so this brotherly love is illustrated in all kinds of ways. It's carried out in all kinds of ways. It's more than a feeling, as they say. It's more than just thinking well of someone. It's actually getting out and doing something. It's actually sharing what you have, giving to others who are in need. Because, as Paul told the Galatian Christians, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially those of the household of faith, especially those who are our brethren. We are to discriminate. Calm down. That's a legitimate use of the concept of discrimination. We are to favor those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're especially to help them. Now, there are all kinds of ways that people discriminate against one another in physical life, and those are wrong. Those are bad. But this matter of discriminating, God has always made a distinction. You can go all the way back to the book of Exodus, where during that last plague, the Bible explains how that against the sons of Israel, not so much as a dog even barked, while the angel of death went through all of the homes of the Egyptians and killed the firstborn of every family. And the Bible goes on to explain that it was the case because God made a distinction between his people and the people of Egypt. Nope, I got one more list. Chapter 4. I wasn't kidding when I said somebody pulled the lid off of this brother stuff and just scattered it all throughout 1 John, because that seems to be the predominant message that we find here in this book. The message, which incidentally he begins to mention in the beginning of the book, he says, I'm a new message I give unto you. He says, but it's not really new. It's the message of loving one another. Because Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, even so that you should love one another. This was the new commandment, but by the time John wrote this letter, 1 John, it wasn't new anymore. It was something that they'd already heard, and that's why he says, I'm not telling you anything new. I'm telling you what's already been learned, what's already out there. Love one another as he loved us. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. This is perhaps the two verses that we are most familiar with on the subject of brotherly love. He says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Murder, liar, in darkness. Look at all the ways that the person who fails in the matter of brotherly love is seen by God. If he says he loves God, whom he's never seen, but he doesn't love his brother, whom he has seen, John says that's an impossibility. In verse 21, this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Loves God, there is a phrase which is an all-encompassing phrase. It encompasses every sense of the duty of being an obedient servant of God. And so again, we're back to the point that we began with. You can't serve God, you can't be one of God's children, if brotherly love is missing from your heart. Now, if we had more time, we could talk about some of the things that hinder us from loving our brethren as we should. We could talk about some of the ways that we could think of that might help us to do a better job of loving our brethren. I'll leave that up to your personal study and research, because obviously this is such an important subject. I'm already ready to jump back into it and see what more I can learn, because it's clear that God wants me, as much as anything that he wants me to love my brethren. In fact, God's always, remember the parable that we read in Sunday school class this morning? And the fellow who said, who's my neighbor then? Because God had said, love your neighbor as yourself. Brotherly love, it's a part of serving God. It is a part without which our service to God is incomplete. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation this evening, we're going to sing this song to encourage you and invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.